Today she is Daf Ayin Beis. We're going to begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we learned the Machloikis, Rameya, and the Rabbonon, if we have a situation of Chatzeros and Mavoi, and an Erev was made in the Chatzeros, or a Shituf was made in the Mavoi, can you rely on one to take care of both needs? The Chum said you can, and Ramey said you cannot. Now the Gemara goes further in understanding that machlokes. Pligibar Rav Nechumi v'Rava. The machlokes of Nechumi and Rava. Chad Omer, and this is the way Rashi understands this, but past the Kule Amalai Pligibar Chodesagi. Everybody will agree that when we use bread, whether we use the bread, according to Rashi, for the Erev Chatzeres, or, which you have to, because Erev Chatzeres can only be made with bread, or you use the bread for Shtufim Avos, which although you don't have to use bread for Shtufim Avos, this person in question chose to use bread for Shtufim Avos, even Ramey will agree, the Bechadisagi, that one of the two, either the Erev that was made, or the Shittuf was made, is adequate. Ki Pligi B'Yayin. The Machlokes is, if wine was used for the Shtufim Avos. With there, Ramey will say that if wine was used for the Shtufim Avos, it won't be adequate, because as we learned yesterday, you can't use wine for an Erev, and Shlatishtakich Taras Erev, that would, people should not forget the concept of Erev, that's why if you made a Shtufim Avos with wine, it won't be enough. Taisus has a different approach. Taisus says that if you'll make an Erev with bread, Ramey would not be satisfied because you were concerned. There's no concern shloi tishtakach tayrus erev. There's a concern shloi tishtakach tayrus shituf. But we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi that since bread is acceptable both for shtufim avos and for erev chatzeres, if you use bread, then Ramey will agree. V'charamar, and the other one explains like this: beyayin the kula amud lepligid debina tarti. This is a much more chumrediger perspective to the machlokes Rabban and Rameya. That if wine was used for the Shtufim Avos, even the Rabbanim will agree the Binam Tati, then a separate Erev Chatzeres has to be made. Ki Pligi, the Machloikas is only Bepas, if bread was used. Where Rameya will say that even though bread was used for the Erev Chatzeres or for the Shtufim Avos, according to Rashi, that's not good enough. You have to have two separate Erev Chatzeres and Shtufim Avos. And the Rabbanim hold that since bread was used, the Shituf or the Erev alone will be adequate. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in a brisa, the Chum Oimrim Oim Arvin Oim Shtatvin, that either an Erev is good enough or a Shituf good enough. My love, what's pshat in this brisa? Oim Arvin b'chos v'pas, either make an Eruv Chatzeres with bread, Oim Shtatvin b'mavi b'yayin, or make a Shituf with wine, and that's all you need to do. So according to the first way we understood today, Ramey and the Rabbanon's Machlokes, this works. Because this is exactly what the Gemara said. According to Rabbanon, one is enough, no matter what the one was, and no matter how that one tikkun you made was made. But according to the second Lashon, that even the Rabbanon agree, that if you made the Shittuf with wine, they'll say you have to make a separate Erev. So how will that Lashon, how will that version of the Machlokes explain this Braisa? I'm Rav Gidl, I'm a Rav. This is the way that version will explain the Machlokes. Hachikama. Oim Arvin b'chotz b'pas, either making a Ruvi Chatzeres with bread, which you have to use bread, and then with Tarm v'kan v'kan, and then the Aloch is that that will be adequate and will cover you both for the Chotzer and for the Mavoi. Oim Mishtatfim b'mavoi b'pas, or make a Shituf with pas, which Enochanami, normally you don't have to make the Shituf with pas. Normally making the Shituf with wine is enough, but if you'll make it with pas, what you'll accomplish, the Rabbanan tell you, is Mutarim Kam V'Kan, you will not have to have an Eruv Chatzeres made separately. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Halach Kramei, the Halach is a Kramei. Rav Hunama, Minik Kramei. Rav Yochanan, Noga Am Kramei. So Rashi explains, we had this more than once already in this Masechta. Halacha means that that's the way we paskin. Minig means that we don't paskin that way. If somebody, we don't publicly say that that's what we're going to do, but if somebody comes to ask you a shayla, we'll tell him you can act like Rameya. And Rav Yochanan says Nagu means that he's really not doing the right thing. Just, we don't protest if he does it that way. So Tosfos asks, Gvaldiga kasha. Taisa says like this. If somebody acts lakula, and the Gemara says that even though he acted lakula, nagu loy mechinen, we won't protest. It makes sense. Remeya here is the machmer. That Rabbanan hold one is enough, either to shifta for the mov or the erev. Remeya says no, you need two. So what pshat that you should be? What pshat that you should be meicha? Why would you protest? Maybe he didn't have to do it, so he did it. Why would I think that you should protest? That the Gemara tells us, the Rashi tells us, don't protest. So Taisa says two answers. One answer Taisa says, and this is important to always remember: every chumra has in it sometimes a kula when you start thinking about it. And that's exactly what happens here. When you make an Erev, or you make a Shituf, you make a Bracha. So what's going to be the Allah according to Rabbanan? Somebody made a Shituf. So according to Rabbanan, you're not supposed to make, you don't have to make an Erev. Somebody goes and he's Machmer, I'm going to be Machmer like Rameya. I'm going to make an Erev, I'm going to make a Bracha. But if you weren't supposed to make an Erev, or you didn't have to make an Erev, it's a Bracha of Atala. Loi Mechinen. You won't protest. Or, another example, Taisa says, let's say we'll deal with a situation, we had it already earlier in the week, where there's a baby that you have to do bris milah for on Shabbos, and you made a shituf and you didn't make an eruv. So according to, if you're going to paskin like Rameya, you're not going to do the bris on the eighth day. Why are you not going to do the bris on the eighth day? Because it's Shabbos, you can't carry the child. But if you're paskin like Rameya, like Rabbanan, you're allowed to carry the child. So even though according to the way we paskin, you should have made the bris, because we passed in like a chamim, and there was no problem carrying the child. That's what the Gemara says. Le'mechinim, we don't protest if you were machmel like Rameya. Haloch le'maisa, the shachnoruch, paskins like the chachamim, and the more it's a machlokes rishonim, which version of the chachamim we follow, the more kuldig version or the more chumadig version. The haloch le'maisa we follow the more kuldig version. And if you have a shituf, it's good enough, and you don't have to make an eruv. Not only that, the Paiskim, Mishnah Berurah says this, point out it may be advantageous because we're not always sure what is a chatzar and what is a mavui. So if you're going to make something as an eruv chatzeris, it really may be a situation of a mavui. It's more than that. The halach is eruv chatzeris have to be left in one of the houses. A shtuf mevas does not have to be left in one of the houses that are opening up. You can leave it in a place even where people don't live. In Europe, the minig was that the Erev was left in the shul. That's why. Because we didn't establish it as an Erev Chatzeris. It was established as a Shtufa Mavaz. Shtufa Mavaz don't have to be left in a house where people live. And that's why, and relying on the Rabbanan, even if you just have a Shtufa Mavaz, that covers the need for Erev Chatzeris also. But Chaznish says, that's why when somebody is in such a situation, he should be careful not to specify that it's Erev Chatzeris or Shtufa Mavaz. Because you start specifying that you think it's an Erev Chatzeris, where halachically it's really Shtufa Mavaz, you by saying too much, you ruined it. So just say, I'm putting it down that it should be a tikkun, and don't specify that it's Erev Chatzeris or Shtufa Mavaz. The next Mishnah goes back to talking about halachas of Erev Chatzeris. But specifically, what is considered a separate area that there should be that you would have to contribute separately to Erev Chatzeris? So says the Mishnah, Chamisha Chaburus Shof Shu B'Traklin. You have five groups that are spending the Shabbos Traklin as a mansion. That means you have five families that ended up in a mansion, and the question is, do they each have to contribute their own Erev to the Erev individually, or are they considered one unit? So the Pais can point out that the discussion here is only Sheshavsu. Sheshavsu means not that they're living there permanently. Sheshavsu means that they're there temporarily. What is the definition of temporarily? So the Aruch HaShulchan and all the Pais can say temporary means 30 days or less. Now there's a machlokes Aruch HaShulchan and Shaar Tshuva how to learn Pshat on this Mishnah. According to Aruch HaShulchan, this Mishnah is discussing that even though they're there for less than 30 days, but we're going to learn they may be considered that they're in separate rooms, not in separate rooms, we'll get to that in a moment. According to the Shaar Tshuva, there's a difference if they're there for less than 30 days and the owner of the house is there or not there. The Shaar Tshuva says, if they're there for less than 30 days and the owner of the house is also present, then there's certainly no need to make separate Erevin. Now Tosfos begins discussing here a very important shaila. It's what we call the hotel shaila. He says, what happens if somebody's in a hotel? Or the way Tosfos describes it was, in those times, people used to have boarders. They used to have yeshiva students as boarders. They used to have melamdim, people that taught Torah, that came from city to city as boarders. And they have their own room. They're given a room. And the shaila is, do they have, and they're there for certainly more than for 30 days, what do you do? Do they have to make an Erev with you that lives in your house? So the Rashba and the Ritva both say that the best thing to do, simple Eitzah, is to take the room that they have, that you give them, and leave something of yours in their room. By you leaving your own items in that room, that makes it still like it's your room, it's connected to the rest of the house, and you have no shaila. But Tosfos says that that's not necessarily required. Tosfos says a few reasons why there's no need for an Erev under those situations, which could be relevant. One thing Tosfos says, if they all eat out of one kitchen, then they could, that is a factor. The other factor Tosfos says is that when I took in the boarder, I only took him in for my benefit. I didn't take him for problems, that he should start restricting me from being able to carry my house. And the third thing Tosfos says is, if I could evict him from his room that I put him into, and there's a machlokes in Poskim how to understand Tosfos. Does it mean eviction, or does it mean not necessarily eviction, but I could change his room. I originally assigned him this room, and then I could give him a different room. Given those factors, even though he has his own private room, that will still make him considered part of my one unit, and there will not be a need for an Erev. But the Magen Avraham says that if you want to rely on the Teirim that Tosfos says, you have to have all the factors. It's not just enough that you could change his room. You have to have that they eat from the same kitchen, and that they have, that you could evict him, and that's what you had in mind when you rented him the room. When you have all these factors, if you don't have all the factors, let's say you rent a room to somebody in a hotel, but he's not eating in the hotel, then Tosfos' Heter, according to the Magen Avraham, would not be relevant because you're not eating out of one kitchen. So we have these five groups in the one mansion. B'shama Aimrim, Erev l'chol chabura chabura. Everybody has to contribute individually to an Erev. V'sel Aimrim, Erev ech l'kulan. One Erev is enough. Now, as Machlokes Rishonim in Beis Shammai, that says that you have to make an Erev. So the room here, most Rishonim explain that the room has its own entrance and exit to the Chatzar. Now the question is, the Erev that you're making, what is the purpose of the Erev? Certainly, to be able to carry in the Chatzar, the halacha is that everybody has to contribute individually. The shaila is, do you have to also make an Erev to be able to carry in the mansion? That means, let's understand how the mansion looks. Everybody has their own room. Each chabura has its own room. And then let's say there's a common area. Will you need to make an Erev for that common area also? So Rashi says you'll have to make an Erev for that area too. It's no different like the lobby of an apartment house. The Rashba disagrees. He says since they're all in one house and it's not really a permanent dwelling, in the house you could carry without any Erev. The discussion in our Mishnah about the Erev is only being able to carry from inside the house to outdoors. Umaydim, how everybody agrees, that let's say they're in not just makeshift rooms, they're in apartments. Chadarim means rooms, Aliyas means the upper floor. You need to have an Erev for every group. Now there's another interesting machlokes we're showing him here. Let's say you have a situation like this. You have these makeshift rooms, and you also have apartments. So certainly the people who are in the separate apartments, the Mishnah says, have to contribute to the Erev individually. Now the question is, what does the Mishnah mean? Does the Mishnah mean since the people that live in the separate apartments have to contribute to the Erev? Now even the people who are in these makeshift rooms also have to contribute, because since some people in this house have to contribute to the Erev, so I say everybody has to contribute to the Erev? Or I say no, the people who are in the permanent apartments, they have to contribute. But the people who are in the temporary apartments, one has nothing to do with the other. Most Rishonim actually learned the first way, that since the people in the permanent apartments have to contribute, now everybody living in this house has to contribute. Says the Gemara, Amrav Nachman, and we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi learns it. Machloikis b'mesippis. the machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is if the wall dividing the groups is less than 10 tefachim high. Ava mechitza, mesipis means a weak mechitza, a weak partition. Ava mechitza sara, if there's a partition of 10 tefachim, divrei akol, everybody agrees, erev l'kol chaburu chaburu, each chaburu has to give its own erev. Why? Because that's already a separate, each one is considered separate. Ikadamri, another version of Rav Nachman's explanation of the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, after Masipas machlokes. Don't say that Mashamai is only machmer on a wall of asara. He's even machmer on a Masipas that's not considered a separation. Pligiba. Now we have two more versions of explaining the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Pligiba Rav Chiya Rav Shimon B'Rebbe. Charam machlokes machitzas amgiyas latikra. The machlokes is only by walls that reach the ceiling. Av machitzas amgiyas latikra. If the walls don't reach the ceiling, then we ask, well, erev echelakulin. One erev is enough. What is considered a machitza that reaches the wall? So the Rashi says the ceiling. The Rashi says it doesn't have to reach the ceiling all the way. If it comes within three tefachim of the ceiling, it's enough, because once it's within three tefachim of the ceiling, I'll say love it. The charama, machlokes b'machitza she'ein megiyas latikra. The machlokes is only if the walls don't reach the ceiling. Aval b'machitza megiyas latikra. If the walls reach the ceiling, divrahakol tzrichen erev kol chabura chabura. There, everybody has to give a separate erev. Now, Tosfos asked the obvious question. Our Mishnah just taught us that if you have separate chadorim valiyos, everybody agrees that you have to give your own erev. So, asked Tosfos, how could there be a machlokes in the case of Mechitza Megiyas Latikra? The case of Mechitza Megiyas Latikra is identical to the case of Aliyas V'Chadorim. What did the Mishnah say by Aliyas V'Chadorim? That everybody agrees you have to give your own Erev. So how could the Gemara say that they're arguing in that case? So Taisa says, very nice Teretz, the difference between Chadorim and Aliyas in the Mishnah and Mechitza Megiyas Latikra is not in the height of the wall. The height in the wall in both cases is the same. It's a full wall. But in the Mishnah, the wall is made out of a sturdy material, and in the Gemara, it's a wall that reaches the ceiling, but it's a wall that's made out of a flimsy material. So let's say it's just a piece of material. So even though it reaches the wall, that one of the versions says that they're arguing because Beis Hillel may hold that that's not considered a wall, given that it's not made out of a solid material. Meisei, ask the Gemara question. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Rabbi Yehuda Savar says, Rashi explains that he was called as Savar, because Savar is from the language of Svaro. He said very good Svaros. Tosfos says a different pshat, that he wore a hat that was made out of a certain type of weaving that's called Sefcha. The Yavit says, why doesn't Tosfos like Rashi's pshat? Rashi's pshat is a lot easier to understand. Savar is Svaro. So he says, very nice pshat to Yavit. He says that what does that mean? According to Rashi, and all of Shas, we only have one person that's called Savar, that he's very smart. The Shas is full of Tanoim and Amoroim, who are very smart, great Talmid Chachamim. To single out one person that he is a Talmud Chachamim and everybody else is not included is not something that Tosfos was satisfied with. So that's why he said a different Pshat than Savar. Meisei, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Lanechku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Amechitza Tamagiyas Latikra. That if they reach the ceiling, shetzrichim erev l'chol chabur chabur, that everybody has to contribute their own erev. Amah nechlaku a mechitza she'emegis l'tikra. You have a mechitza, it's a partition, it's 10 tefachim high, but it doesn't reach the ceiling. Shebeshama imrim, even in that situation, erev l'chol chabur chabur, everybody has to contribute their own erev. Beishel imrim, that in that situation, erev echlakulim. Now what the Gemara is going to do is as follows. On the Amud Aleph in the Gemara, we had four different versions of explaining the machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What the Gemara is going to do now is take what Rabbi Yehuda Savar says and see if it fits to the different versions, if it does or it doesn't. So now the Gemara explains. Lamanda Omer, according to the Manda Omer that says the Mechitza Megiyas Latikra, machloikas that even by wall which reaches the ceiling, they're arguing, certainly to Yufta. Rabbi Yehuda Savar and that Shita cannot jive. Because Rabbi Yehuda Savar says that when it reaches the ceiling, everybody agrees that you have to contribute separately. And that man, the Amr, said the Beis Hillel will say you don't have to give separately. Ulaman, the Amr, according to the version that we had in Amun Aleph, the Mechitzish Emegis Latikra, that the Machlaikis is in a case where the wall doesn't reach the ceiling, but when it reaches the ceiling, everybody agrees, Siyata. That fits perfectly with Rabbi Huda Asavra. Lahach Lishna, Domrach Panach, Machlaikis from Mesippus, according to the version, the first version actually, that we learned, that the Machlaikis is on a flimsy wall, Tiyufta, on a wall that doesn't reach 10 Tfachim, that there, Beis Shammai is Machmer, and Beis Hillel is Mekel, also it's Tiyufta. Why? Because according to that version, Beis Hillel will agree that if the wall is 10 Tfachim high, then you have to make separate Erev. But according to this version, so you have a wall, it's 10 Tfachim high, it just doesn't reach the ceiling. This version says you don't have to make, Rabbi Hillel says you don't have to give individual Erev. So again, the first version of the Machlaikis that we learned on Amun Aleph certainly does not coincide well with Rabbi Yehuda Savar. The only shaila that we have, says the Gemara, is L'hach Nishna Amar Rav Nachman Machlaikis from Mesippus. According to the second version of the way Rav Nachman explained the Machlaikis, Rav Nachman says, L'hach Nishna Amar Rav Nachman after Mesippus Machlaikis, that they're arguing by wall and they're arguing by Mesippus. Do I say that it's also not going to work well with Rabbi Yehuda Sayavar? Because here it says that they argue by Mechitzis, which seems to indicate that that Rabbi Yehuda Sayavar will hold that by Mesippus there is no disagreement. Even Beis Shammai will agree that one Erev is enough. Yet, in this version of Rav Nachman, we have Beis Shammai holding that by Mesippus, you have to give separate Erev. Or, he isn't discussing it, and it could be Rabbi Yehuda Sava will hold that Beis Shammai holds that even by Mesippus, you have to make separate Erevs. L'hach lishn amr Rav Nachman, ap Mesippus machloikis, lemet yov tiyufta, is it a machloikis? Amr lach Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman will tell you, pligi mechitzis. They're arguing by Mechitzis, v'hua dim Mesippus. They're also arguing by Mesippus. So if they're arguing in both cases, why did Rav Yehuda Savra only speak about Mechitzah? Why didn't he tell us about Mesippus? V'hai, the kamifakim of Mechitzah. You know why Rav Yehuda Savra only chose to speak about Mechitzah? L'di'acha koicha de Beis Hillel. He wants to show us how far Beis Hillel is Mekel. That not only is he Mekel by a Mesippus, he's even Mekel by a wall, as long as the wall doesn't reach the ceiling. Ask the Gemara of Aliflu b'Mesippus. Why does Rabbi Yehuda Sava talk about a Mesippus and show us how far Beis Shammai is Machmer? That even if you have a partition that doesn't even reach 10 Tfachim, still Beis Shammai is Machmer? Says the Gemara, if I want to teach you what the Mekel holds, what the Machmer holds, I'd rather teach you what the Mekel holds. So first of all, Tosfos asks the Kasha, that a lot of times when the Gemara says such a teretz, the Gemara says, okay, you want to teach us the Koich HaTeru, but why don't you also teach us the other Shita? So Taisa says, when is that question a legitimate question? When the other Shita is a Shita that we may accept as halachic, lahalocha. Here, who's the Shita that we're not mentioning? Beis Shammai. We don't accept Beis Shammai lahalocha anyway. So the Gemara is not going to ask, so mention him anyway. I'm not going to follow him anyway. Now, why is the concept of Koich HaTeru Adif? What's the concept? So Rashi Masechta Beya explains that the concept of Koich HaTeru is like this. To be Machmer is easy, because if I don't know what to do, I'm Machmer. To be Mekel, I have to be sure of what I'm saying is correct. So if somebody's Mekel and somebody's Machmer, we know that the person who was Mekel was serious and knew what he was talking about. That's why Koich HaTeru Adif. And Tosfos over there expands on it. It's the same concept. Tosfos says that to be Machmer, if you don't know what to do, you'll be Machmer. But if you're Mekel, you have to have a proof that you're right. So if you have a proof that you're right, it must be that you are right. Now there's an interesting Tzlach. The Tzlach says that when do we say Koich HaTeru Adif? By Deraisa. Why? Because we know Sof Deraisa L'chumra. So if you didn't know what to do, what should have you done? You should be Machmer. If you knew that you have to be Machmer when you have a Suffolk, and you still went out of your way and you were Mekel, you must know what you're talking about, and you must be correct. But, says the Tzlach, by a Derabonon, where Suffolk Derabonon Lekula, there we don't say Koich HaTeru Adif. Ask the Marsham, ask the Mechsalazar, from Al Gemara we see it's different from the Tzlach. What are we talking about here? We're talking about Erevin. Erevin is a Drabbanan. And yet the Gemara applies the concept of Koyach Tatera Adif. So we see that Koyach Tatera Adif is used even by Drabbanans. Amrav Nachman Amrav. Halach Krib Yehuda Asavar. The halach is like Krib Yehuda Asavar. Amrav Nachman Yitzchak. Masnesen Dami Deka. From our Mishnah we could see Rabbi Yehuda Asav is right. Tani, what do we learn in our Mishnah? That if you have people living in different apartments, different rooms, every chabura has to contribute individually. My chadarim, my elias. Ask the Gemara, what does chadarim and elias mean when we learned in the Mishnah? It means full-fledged separate apartments. Pshita. Obviously, everybody, if we have a house with separate apartments, that's the classical case of an Erev. Elaf, ke'en chadorm, ke'en lias. It's not that they're really totally separate. They're somewhat, quite separate. What makes them so separate? Mechitza, megiyas latikra. And what does our Mishnah say by chadorm valias? That everybody has to contribute their own Erev? Everybody agrees to that. So we see, like Rabbi Yehuda Asava taught us, that mechitza, megiyas latikra, there is no machloikis, everybody has to give their own Erev. Now what happens in the Gemara is, now, the Gemara takes an entirely different perspective to our Mishnah. Now, till now, we learned that what was Pshat in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah was teaching us halachas of mechitzas. What is considered a partition? What is considered a separate room? What is not considered a separate room? Now the Gemara turns. The Gemara starts explaining to us, according to this version, a different halacha and hilchos of Erevin altogether. Says the Gemara, Tana. Medvar Murim, so like Rashi tells us, according to this version, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that if they're all living in a mansion, it's considered like one unit. And they're considered one unit, and there's no question about that. What is the Machlokes? The Medvar Murim Kshemalichnes Eruvan Lamokm Acher. Avo Emhoya Ruven Ba'atzlon. You know, when you make an Erev, there's two things to make an Erev. Two ways you can make an Erev. Sometimes both are done. Sometimes the Erev is left. First, let's talk about it this way. You collect an Erev. We have five families living. We have a five family house. Two five family houses next door to each other. So all five families live in one house, collect an Erev. And then what do? They take the Erev. And if they want to be able to carry from one backyard to the other backyard, they deposit an Erev in the other house. So really what you did here is you made two Erevs. First you made an Erev for the whole house, and then you made an Erev with your next door neighbor. That's exactly what happened here, says the Gemara. Regarding making an Erev in the house itself, since they're all living in this one mansion, there is no need, everybody agrees, to collect separately from each group. That collects them. The taklin collects them. When is there an issue here? The issue here is if you want to make an Erev with the next door house. Beis Hillel says they're all one unit. Since they're all one unit, they don't have to. One contribution is adequate. And Beis Shammai holds that no, that although for their own house they may be considered their own unit, they're not considered one unit when they're contributing to the next door. And if they want to be able to carry with next door, each one of the groups in the house of the each one of the groups in the mansion has to contribute to the Erev separately. And again, this is very relevant lalocha. Where's this relevant lalocha lamaisa? If two houses next door to each other, and we make an Erev in the first house, and now we want to make an Erev with our neighbors, do we have to collect for the second Erev for each one of the neighbors? Or the fact that we're all connected together is enough, and therefore we should be able to put the Erev next door, which the Gemara is saying now is the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel, as whom we paskin like, says you don't have to go collecting all from all five again. You take the Erev that we have and put it next door. Says the Gemara, Kaman Ozla Hodatanya, according to whom will the following Braisa work? It says in a Braisa, Chamisha Shigova say Ruvan, five that collected the Erev, Shemalichnes Ruvan. That means the five families contribute to the Erev, and now you take it to the next door, Erev Ech Lekulan. They don't have to go collect from all five again. One Erev will be enough. Kaman Kebeis Hillel. Vikadamri, another version, again with this perspective of understanding our Mishnah. B'madvar murim k'sheruv in bo'etzlon. If they're making the Erev in the house, then there's machlokes b'sham b'Beis Hillel if everybody has to contribute separately or one is enough. Avalim hayu melichnas eruv l'mak acher. If it's talking about bringing the Erev to next door, there, according to this version, divrakot tzirich an Erev kol chabura chabura. Every group has to contribute separately. Kaman azla. Asamar, who will the brice that says chamish garment say ruvon shemalichan say ruvon lamakam echar erev echle kulan, that you don't have to give separately if you're taking it next door. So according to this, it doesn't jive with anybody. Kaman to like chad, because this we're learning in this version that even Beis Hillel says it's only a nafkamina in the mansion itself, but for next door everybody has to contribute separately. And this brice says for this next door you don't have to contribute separately. Halach lamaisa is if you have of two houses next door to each other, let's make it a simple example. 2 5-family houses next door to each other, and the first house collected the Erev, and now they want to make, besides that they should be able to carry in the common areas of their house, in the lobby, in the halls, they also want to be able to carry to the next door. They don't have to make a new Erev. They take that Erev that they already established, put it next door, and that will have a dual purpose. They could carry in their own house, and they also could carry next door between the yards. And in fact, the Chazon Ish asks, how can one Erev accomplish two goals? This one Erev is accomplishing two goals. It's accomplishing that they could carry in their house, and it's also accomplishing that they could carry next door. And the Chazon Ish says that that's the way Chazal established Tilchus Erevin, that you don't have to go make a separate Erev for every purpose. One Erev could accomplish multi-purpose. Now the next Mishnah in Sugya that we're going to begin today discusses another concept. Who is considered a member of the household? Let's say you own an apartment in a house. Very relevant, Shaila. You own an apartment in a house, but you don't live there. So are you considered a member of the house that you have to be reckoned with as far as Hilchos Erevin? Says the Mishnah. So the way most Rishonim explain, we're dealing here with a chatzar. And the father owns a house in this chatzar, and he has children that own houses in the chatzar. But v'sheinu b'bateihem, they eat in their father's house, but they sleep at home. Says the Mishnah, tzrichim erev l'kol echad v'echad. Each one has to contribute to the erev separately. Lefikach, and therefore, im shochach echem hem v'lo yirev, and one of them didn't contribute, v'vatlas v'shusay. The only eitz is that he has to do bitl rishus. So the Achroinim ask, this halacha bitl rishus, we learned many times. Somebody forgot that didn't join in the Erev, and he doesn't want to hurt or ruin it for the rest, he does bitl rishus. Why does our Mishnah have to repeat it? So I saw three truths. One teretz of Teres Yisrael says that the Mishnah is teaching us for the whole perek that let's say you have a situation where somebody didn't contribute to the Erev. The Mishnah is teaching him, don't be a bad person. Be a good person. Be mevatel rishus, that you shouldn't harm the others. Another pshat that I saw is that I would think, the Mefarshim say, that since they are somewhat connected, what's the proof that they're somewhat connected? They are brothers. They are eating together. So I would think that that should be enough, that b'di'evid, when somebody didn't do, when somebody didn't contribute, it shouldn't restrict Kamash Malon, that no, if he doesn't do Bittul Rishus, it's the same like a stranger who didn't do Bittul Rishus, and he answers. That's the second pshat. The third pshat, which I saw from the Karban Nisanel, the Karban Nisanel says that the Mishnah is teaching us that Mevatas Rishusoy means that he has to be Mevatas Rishus, and we don't say that he shouldn't be Mevatas Rishus. We say he has to be Mevatas Rishus. He can be Mevatas Rishus as much as anybody else, and we don't say that he's different. Continues the Mishnah. Amosai, when was this said? But as man shim melichan eruvim makam echad, avim hay eruba etzlan. So let's learn this case like this. We just explained that when an eruv is collected, what happens with the eruv? The eruv is deposited in one of the houses. So says the Mishnah, when is the halacha that we just said that each family, even the children, have to contribute individually? When is that halacha said? That halacha was said if the Erev is not being put in the father's house. But if the place where the Erev is going to be deposited is in the father's house anyway, so therefore, says the Mishnah, then the sons will not have to contribute to the Erev. And the Chazon Ish says, it doesn't mean after the father's house. even if the Erev is going to be left in one of his children's houses, but it's going to be left within that family, that's going to be the house in the Chatzar where the Erev is deposited, then the Mishnah says they don't have to give their own Erev. Oh, another case, let's say you have a situation that the whole house is just family. You have a father and his children. And even though the children don't, as the Mishnah began, and we'll talk about that in a minute, they don't sleep in their father's apartment, they eat in their father's apartment. But since there's nobody outside of the family in this house, then the halacha will be that they don't have to make a separate area, they're considered one family. Now, we're going to learn tomorrow a big machloikus Rav and Shmuel, that what is the critical factor that makes something be considered your house, makes it considered your apartment. So one man dama says makam lina gairim, where you sleep, and one man dama says pakam pita, where you eat. Our Mishnah seems to be saying that we follow makam lina. So what's the man dama who says that you go with the makam pita going to do with our Mishnah? Ask the Gemara, Shmami no, isn't Pshan in our Mishnah that Mokum Lina Gairim? You follow where you sleep. And that's why our Mishnah says, since each one of these families sleep in their own apartment, that's why it's considered separate. Amr Yehuda Merav, no. Our Mishnah is talking about Makabli Prashanu. Not only do they sleep in their own apartments, they eat in their own apartments also. But what they eat in their own apartments, they get from their father. And as Machloikis Rishonim, Rashi and Taisus, what does it mean they get from the father? According to Rashi means that they get the actual food from their father. According to Taisus doesn't mean that they get the actual food, they get the money. If the father supports them, that's also considered that they're living off the father. So now, the Mishnah's teaching us, explains Taisus, that even though that they eat in their own apartment, and even though they sleep in their own apartment, but if they live off their father, if we have one of two situations, that the Erev is being deposited in one of the family members' house, as the Chazon Ish explained, or there's nobody else in the house besides the family, they don't have to contribute separately to the Erev. The Rambam has a different pshat in Mekabli Pras. The Rambam's pshat in Mekabli Pras is that some weeks they eat in their father's apartment, and some weeks they don't eat by their father. That's the definition of Mekabli Pras. But the Ravid is very disturbed with that pshat. He asks a lot of kashos, and he says the pshat is either like Rashi or Taisus, that they don't eat by their father, they just live off their father, either gives them the food or gives them the money.